Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, now the jury deliberates. That's right, the Derek Chauvin matter has been sent to the jury. Second, what does someone who wants to get rid of their wife look like or do for a living? Maybe not what you would expect. Third, a man asked to buy a three-year-old child after he tries to abduct the child. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, for those of you who are maybe new to the channel, tomorrow, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, we go live and then we roll straight into our Crime Talk Patreon talk where you can actually call in as well. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about. All right. For those of you who have been waiting, yes, I'm back. Thanks for being patient. Thanks for all the nice words, but I was in trial. And when I'm in trial, I go all in focused. I have to focus on the court. And I must say, that's right, not guilty to all counts. Complete walk on a case where the client was looking at spending the rest of his life in prison. Now, it is fun to win. It's even a little more fun when the DAs were kind of younger and couldn't believe why this case was going to trial. And it's even better when the jury deliberates and finds your client not guilty in less than 3 hours. And suddenly those DAs who are discussing during the break that, you know, they haven't lost a trial in 2 years in their unit, well, until now. So that's where I was. Good result for the client. We like happy clients. We like holding the prosecution to their burden of proof of beyond a reasonable doubt, and they failed. I'd been telling them for months, well, year actually, this case shouldn't be going to trial. Do you really think this is a good case? They thought it was. Thank God the jury agreed with me. All right. First on the docket, the trial is finally over. The evidence has been presented. The jurors have been given the legal instructions in this case, and now they're sequestered and the jury begins their deliberations. Now, the prosecution's first closing statement of the day, frankly, lacked a whole lot of passion or enthusiasm. And I've said this before, the prosecution's first closing is usually pretty boring. Now, very competent attorneys, good attorneys, did they do anything wrong or bad? No. But it just kind of lacked a whole lot of passion. There wasn't any there. It went on for, I think, an hour and 15 minutes, and it's, these are the elements. This is what we must prove. Look, we have brought you evidence. Believe our evidence. Find him guilty. That's kind of the way it is. The defense then got up to do their closing. Mr. Nelson, the defense attorney for Derek Chauvin. I've said this all along. I think he's done a very good job. You understood his theory, his defense, and he pulled it through. I think he went a little too long. I kind of blame the judge for that. Apparently no time limits were really given. And I think had the judge said, I'm going to give you an hour and a half, get it all done, he would have got it done perhaps a little more succinctly. However, the defense made their argument. They made their points. Why do you say, Scott, that he made his points? Because the prosecution got up. And as some of you, if you stayed for the entire proceedings, once the jury got their charge to go back and deliberate, there was a hearing held afterwards. And a motion was basically made for a mistrial regarding statements that were made by the prosecutor in not only their first, but particularly their second closing. It amounted to prosecutorial misconduct. The prosecutor cannot use the words, the defendant is shading the truth. cannot say that they are spinning stories, coming up with stories, because that implies that they're lying. Prosecutors cannot do that. The judge sustained all but one because it was the context of it in the first closing wasn't probably improper. But in the second closing, when the counsel got up and repeatedly said stories, 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 and then said, well, I'm just trying to say stories are, you know, spinning of the truth, shading of the truth, completely improper. And guess what? Why would a prosecutor do that if you think your case is so great? Don't do anything that's going to push it. Why did they do that? Because apparently, I'm going to guess, the people in the room can see the jurors. And they must be taking notes, writing down what Eric Nelson is saying. And for the prosecutor to get up and push it to the point where you could cause a mistrial, not only now, but have the case reversed on appeal for that, you must be worried, okay? The judge read the instructions and the law to all of the jurors out loud. We were all able to watch it here on the live feed as well. And the reality of it is the prosecution has some hurdles to get over. Do I think that the hurdles will be so large that the prosecution cannot overcome them? I don't think so. But the question is, the defense only has to raise reasonable doubt, because the prosecution basically has to prove that Derek Chauvin, by his actions, was the substantial. And substantial means basically pretty much everything, the cause. And what is the prosecution's theory? That George Floyd died of asphyxia. We brought in the pulmonologist. We brought in everybody. But their own doctor who did the autopsy, the one who did their autopsy, said this wasn't a strangulation case. The defense highlighted that in their closing. And he said, listen, if you don't think that a man who has fentanyl of 11 nanograms, that has methamphetamines and blocked arteries of, I think, 75%, somehow couldn't have a really bad day, guess what? You're ignoring common sense. And what the defense had to say was that former officer Chauvin acted as a reasonable police officer would, and he pulled from all of the prosecution's own witnesses, agreed that what Derek Chauvin did was in fact reasonable, and said this wasn't a chokehold, that he was following his training. He was authorized to use this level of force. Reasonable, 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 because that's the standard in these type of cases, what a reasonable officer would have done. He walked the jurors through it. This is the case where if the jury wants to find Derek Chauvin guilty of something, they can hang their hat on some of the evidence that's been presented. If they want to say, I have doubts, there is plenty of evidence for the jurors to say that they have doubts. So now we all wait and see. Certainly, once we have word that a verdict has been reached, we will try to bring the verdict live and see what the result is. It's going to be very, very interesting. Now, that little hearing that was right after the jury got their charge to go deliberate, the judge had to deal with another issue, and that was the Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who just happened to show up in town. Of course, that's not her district she represents. I think she represents a district near LA. And basically what she said was that if there's anything less than a murder conviction, that people need to be more confrontational with the police. Now, the judge made a comment. He, first of all, denied the motion for mistrial, but he did say to Mr. Nelson, Maxine Waters, Congressman Waters, may give you what you need for a new trial if there is a conviction. Okay? Now, Maxine Waters, I'd like to refer to her as I can't believe Waters, right? Because I can't believe she said it. Everything she says, I think, is just sometimes unbelievable. I can't believe she said it. And then I can't believe that people continue to vote for Maxine Waters. Anyway, we'll see if there's a conviction and if it gets reversed because of what she said. Now, hopefully we can have this little snippet for you where the judge says, I wish public officials would stop commenting on this case, that they should respect the co-equal branch of government and the constitutional authority that they have, because, you know, they all took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. So let the judiciary do their job. Clearly, Judge Cahill has little tolerance for politicians and perhaps particularly Maxine Waters.
I'm aware of the media reports. I'm aware that Congresswoman Waters was talking specifically about this trial and about the unacceptability of anything less than a murder conviction and talk about being confrontational, but you can submit the press articles about that. This goes back to what I've been saying from the beginning. I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch and our function. I think if they want to give their opinions, they should do so in a respectful and in a manner that is consistent with their oath to the Constitution, to respect a co-equal branch of government. Their failure to do so, I think, is abhorrent, but I don't think it has prejudiced us with additional material that would prejudice this jury. They have been told not to watch the news. I trust they are following those instructions and that there is not in any way a prejudice to the defendant beyond the articles that we're talking specifically about the facts of this case. A congresswoman's opinion really doesn't matter a whole lot.
We'll wait and see. I think it's going to be an interesting story. A lot of true professionalism shown on both sides in this particular case. Clearly, the prosecution had a lot more resources. I think five attorneys that they had in the courtroom at any given time. And then there was Mr. Nelson on his own. Looks like maybe he had some research or some sort of paralegal in the back. I've only done a three-week trial twice in my days, and I can tell you I'm exhausted. I'd be exhausted. I'm exhausted after a one-week trial because most people don't realize that it's not just an 8-to-5 gig, and that when you get done with court that evening, you go home and prepare for the next day, even though you think you've already prepared, because nothing exactly goes as planned. Things come out. You have to anticipate. You're preparing for the next day, future witnesses. It's literally about a 16 to 17 hour day when you're in trial. So we'll wait and see. It was a good defense by the defense. And even if they're convicted, that's good. We want Mr. Chauvin to receive a great defense so that if there is a conviction, it stands up on appeal, right? We'll see how that turns out. And hopefully the city won't burn. Whatever happens, respect the verdict. Next on the docket, what does someone look like who wants to get rid of their wife? And maybe what do they do for a living? Well, listen to this story. A Washington doctor is now behind bars after police say he reached out to a hitman on the dark web. Dr. Ronald Craig Igg, I-I-G, has been charged with federal attempted kidnapping after investigators got a tip about a scheme to kidnap his wife. According to authorities, the request was made on the dark web, which has been connected to illegal activities carried out under a collection of secret internet sites. The woman who received the tip told investigators that the doctor wanted someone to kidnap his wife while he was away in Mexico. The doctor also is allegedly wanting to have his wife injected with heroin for a week. He requested a rush job, wanted it done next week, and he needed the target kidnapped for 5 to 7 days. Now, while being held, she is to be given at least 2 daily doses of heroin, and she is also strongly persuaded to do things within the next 2 weeks. The doctor also requested that the wife would receive messages later telling her that her family and children would be in danger if she didn't follow the rules. Now, not surprisingly, the doctor and a girlfriend he traveled with returned from Mexico. Federal investigators questioned him. Originally, the doctor denied the allegations. However, investigators found evidence in the doctor's home that reportedly connected him to the crime with the intent of having his wife drop court proceedings against him. Not surprising, there was another woman involved. Here's a picture of the good doctor. I guess you never know who may want to take you out, but it's usually somebody you know. Let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. All right, we're back from the quick recess. Let's get to the docket. But before we go there, I'm telling you, go to crimetalksearch.com. There's always something that you are going to find out that you did not already know when you do that background check. Next on the docket, a 73-year-old Kentucky man was arrested for allegedly offering money to buy a 3-year-old boy after allegedly trying to abduct the child last week. Corbin police officers responded to a call at a residence on April 7th at about 4 p.m. A woman called and told the police that a man had approached her 3-year-old grandson. She said the man tried to help the boy climb over the fence in the yard. The suspect allegedly walked over to where the 3-year-old boy was playing and began attempting to assist him to the other side of the fence. The woman yelled at the man to let the child go, and the boy ran to safety. The suspect then walked into the family's yard, according to the arrest affidavit, and said, quote, "I'll give you $1,000 for this little boy." Needless to say, the grandmother was not willing to sell the child and contacted the police. The grandmother's boyfriend reportedly yelled at the suspect, later identified as Ronnie Lou Helton, to leave. Helton went back to his vehicle and left. The police contacted him and he was charged with attempted kidnapping of a minor and promoting human trafficking of a victim under the age of 18. He also has previous convictions for solicitation of prostitution. Now, obviously, we'll give Mr. Helton the presumption of innocence, but really, now, unless there is some sort of mental health issue here, a 73-year-old can still be a pedophile. Be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. It is a dangerous world. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Cordell Coleman, 33. Well, moments after being released from custody on a public intoxication charge, Mr. Coleman drove away from the Pulaski County Jail at about 2:40 a.m. in a marked Little Rock Police Department SUV. The entire incident was captured on video as the car was near a jail sallyport. The stolen vehicle had been driven to the jail by an officer who was assisting with the booking of prisoners, and after completing the process, he returned to discover that his patrol vehicle had in fact been taken. It didn't take long, but they found Mr. Coleman about 10 miles away from the jail. He was still inside the vehicle, and I don't think that he can honestly say that he had permission to take the vehicle. That's theft. Now, Mr. Coleman, like so many crimes in the world today, they're videotaped. And if you think your crime is going to be videotaped, the one place you probably would think it'd be videotaped would be the jail that you were being released from. All right, Mr. Coleman, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. If you are our overall dumb criminal contestant winner for the week, you will receive a Crime Talk mug. We will mail it to you. We'll send it to you there at the jail. Congratulations. You will always be a winner to us, Mr. Coleman, even if you don't win. All right. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. We'll keep you updated on the Chauvin trial verdict. And don't forget to join us tomorrow for our live 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Hope you all join in. And if you haven't become a Patreon, please do so. And you can call in and we'll have a conversation. And we may go a little long depending on if there's enough to talk about. Thanks for watching. Have a great day.